It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I am coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Hope you've had a tremendous Friday. Hope you're getting ready for the weekend. Hope your team has done a good job in the NFL draft. I hope so. The second round is already underway. We'll talk about it. We'll talk more football and round one and quarterbacks and offense and defense and mistakes. There's so much to do. And there's basketball going on right now. Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks are actually playing a close one in Indianapolis right now. They're tied at 104. About 4 minutes left in the game. The series is tied at one. There is no Giannis. Chris Middleton got a busted up ankle. And the Bucks, they're hanging in there. Anyway, we're going to get into some of these other loser basketball teams, later in the show. We'll get into the Lakers. I guess they're the biggest loser. Lakers are already down 0-3 to the Nuggets. Hickey, I think the biggest losers over the past 24 hours, you got Lakers are losers. Falcons look like losers for now. Anybody else I'm missing here?
Bills, you could argue, by trading down and giving the Chiefs a speedster now.
Yeah. Xavier Worthy is now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then we got a bunch of winners. The Chicago Bears are winners. The Minnesota Vikings look like winners. And I got to tell you, even if J.J. McCarthy does not work out, the fact that they got Dallas Turner to replace the oft-injured Danielle Hunter, I like that. I think it's good. I like what they did. I'm a little flummoxed at what took place out with the Raiders. You already got Meyer now bringing in Brock Bowers. I'm just like, Aiden O'Connell's going to throw the ball to both of them? And this is not a joke. Trust me, it is not a joke. I can't remember the last time that we saw a prolific pass-catching tight end duo since we had Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Hickey, am I wrong? Has there ever been another tight end duo catching passes like that?
Not duo. You know, yeah, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry get two big-time deals from the Patriots a few years ago.
And yuck.
Exactly right. That reaction is very warranted. They were nowhere close. You're right. It's that duo, and really no one else is close in the last 15 years.
No one is close. You're right. And let me tell you, this second round, I'm really loving this. I love this. Look, here we go. Keon Coleman goes to the Buffalo Bills at number 33 overall from Florida State. So the Buffalo Bills pick up a wide receiver. Ladd McConkey, a Georgia Bulldog, he ends up with the Los Angeles Chargers. The Falcons, they pick again. They decided to get a defensive tackle out of Clemson. Rook Orohoro, Illinois. Jerzon Newton, he goes to Washington. That's a great pick. Got him right in the middle. New England Patriots, Jalen Polk from Washington. Tavondre Sweat from Texas is a member of the Tennessee Titans. Braden Fisk goes to the Rams, another defensive tackle. This is what I really love. You want to talk about draft winners? Cooper DeJean, the man who could beat Caitlin Clark in basketball, so says he. The safety slash cornerback, he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. I love this. The Philadelphia Eagles, they pick up two young players, two first-round talents in 2 days to help not the backfield, but they help the defensive backs. Because the Philadelphia Eagles, you think about last night, they picked up probably arguably the best corner in the entire draft, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. And so not only do they get Mitchell, the Eagles do, minutes ago, they pick up Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. Kool-Aid McKinstry, he's staying in the SEC country. He's now going to be a member of the New Orleans Saints. Kamari Lassiter, another cornerback from right here in Georgia, he just got drafted to the Houston Texans. Hey, Hickey, I love what the Eagles have done. I think that, and I know it sounds crazy, but when you get multiple picks, and then you start stacking your team up in one offseason, with first-round talents, guys that you don't have to draft in a first round, I love it. I like what the Eagles have done. I think they've had a terrific offseason so far.
Could not agree more. I'm with you 1,000,000%. I love both of those picks. I love the fact that they doubled up and are not afraid to go back into the well they just went into in round number one. They also traded up for Cooper DeJean, too. So I like the fact that they had conviction, saw him drop. I think they he was the fourth or fifth pick of the second round, I want to say. So I say drop in air quotes because it just started. But they had conviction. It was a target they had. He's very versatile. And like you said, it's a big-time weakness. And now they potentially got two guys that on paper seem like they could be, you know, stalwarts in the, on the back end of that defense for the next 8 to 10 years.
Yeah, in a normal draft where we don't have a million guys taken at the beginning that happen to be offensive players, like these dudes would have been like first round. And we hit some records yesterday. A record 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. We didn't have a defensive player taken, as we know, until spot number 15 with the Indianapolis Colts picking up Latu from UCLA. We didn't have the first cornerback. I told you, Quinyon Mitchell, he went at number 22. This draft was all about the offense. And we spoke earlier on in the show. We have my main man, Randy McMichael, here, played in the league for 11 years, is now on 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta, Georgia. He talked about this being all about offense. We know this. The league is trying to push every single button to make the people show up. Like, if the games were 3-3, who's watching? I mean, if we had games that were 3-0, who's watching? I mean, when I was a kid, and I had no problem with them. Man, I could sit down and watch a 10-3 game. Like, them days are over. I can't even remember the last time I saw a game with such a low score. Hickey, what was the... I can't remember. What the... Who rung up 70 on the Dolphins last year? Who did that?
No, it was the Dolphins, and they did it on the Broncos.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, they did. Because I like watching Sean Payton squirm. You are 100% correct. Like, these are the type of scores that we're getting. Like, how many more years do we got to wait before some team just says, hey, guess what I got? I got 80-something for you. Like, it's going to happen one day against some miserable-ass team that just decides to lay down. Because when everybody is drafting a gunslinger and the offensive, or excuse me, just the rules, period, favor the offense, how could we not have more scoring? You know what they say, defense wins championships. Offense puts butts in seats. Offense pays the bills. The 6 quarterbacks taken right out of the gate yesterday, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. Nobody saw that coming. And this is the way that the league is going. Now, who the hell is going to play is a little bit different. Is Penix going to see the field? Oh, I don't know. I mean, if he's jumping in front of Kirk Cousins, that's dangerous. Jaden Daniels should see the field from day one. Caleb Williams should see the field from day one. And Drake May is somebody else that you should stash away. Hickey, I think by the time we get to the end of the season, whether it be via injury or what have you, I think we're going to see Drake May. We're going to see a little bit of him. You think so?
Oh, I do. I still think he could start week one. I'm not sold that they'll go Jacoby Brissett and have him sit, but I think definitely by week 18, Drake May will be starting for the Patriots, no doubt about it.
You think we'll see him early?
I do. I mean, if he's better than Brissett, like, I don't know why you wouldn't, you know. I'm not high on his chances in New England, but if he plays well, gets off to a hot start in training camp, like, why not?
Damn. Nah, I think there's parts, there's like a learning curve. And I think when you're him and you make some of the mistakes that he can make and have the inconsistencies, I think part of that learning process is stand around and watch first. Like, watch a little bit, you know, chomp at the bit to get out there. And then throw him out there. And then if he sucks, you can sit him back down and say, hey, you went out there, you made these mistakes, and I'll learn some more. Drake May, to his credit, he did speak to the media today. And he said he is all about learning, and primarily he's going to be him and not try to be Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's the GOAT. Now, it's easy to say that. He's the best that ever played this game. I'm not going to be Tom Brady. So I'm just going to try to be Drake May. And from there, I'm just trying to learn from him, hopefully get to know him a little bit. And other than that, just try to soak it up and be a sponge and try to learn all I can from him. And he's the man in that town.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he gets the start. But I did tell you, and I think we all know this, Caleb Williams is going to start from day one. His jersey, and I saw this as well, one of our callers said it, his jersey like sold out faster than Caitlin Clark's jerseys at the Fanatics shop last week. And I'm like, okay, all right, we got Bears fans that are on board. Because for months, I feel like all I heard was, well, we still wanted Justin Fields, and why are we doing this, and keep Fields, extend Fields. Well, now you got Caleb Williams. And now you got a guy who you hope can go out there and throw for 4,000-plus yards. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to build that new Soldier Field across the street. But by the time this man gets inside, if he is still the franchise quarterback, playing indoors, he should really have a benefit of going out there and lighting people up. Caleb Williams, the Bears posted this on social media. Listen to his message to all of the fans supporting the Bears.
I'm ready. I'm excited. I know that y'all love ball. I know that y'all been waiting for a long time. And so let's get this thing going. Let's show the love from each side. Go Bears.
Hickey, that was the weakest Go Bears I ever heard in my life.
Do you want a big one like Go Bears?
I mean, did you hear that? He just Go Bears. Like, what is that?
Mild mannered.
For the Bears? He plays quarterback. He has it in him. He gotta call plays and audibles at the line of scrimmage. Go Bears. Like, he sounded like he wasn't sure. Oh, that guy. It's gonna be, what happened?
You got Damian? Doubts?
About him?
Yeah. Just with those two words.
No.
Jalen labels Caleb Williams. Bust. Because he don't like how he says, Go Bears.
Let's can we just hear the end? We got to listen to him say the whole thing again.
Go Bears. Go Bears.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't have the, come on, the fans are, when you're at a football stadium and the fans are chanting, could you imagine if all the fans sounded like this?
Go Bears.
No. No, that's counterintuitive. Come on. I'm a Jets fan, unfortunately. If I was at, what they call a stupid thing, MetLife. If I was at MetLife Stadium and they're doing the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 and there's 80,000 people in there and everybody's going J-E-T. S, Jets, Jets. It doesn't have the same thing. I've heard the Bears fans go, but I've heard it before. It doesn't sound like this.
Go Bears.
Come on. Anyway, good luck to him and good luck to Chicago and their future quarterback. Hey, Washington got themselves a QB, right? Jaden Daniels got himself a Heisman, got himself a new team. Got something to work with, got a new owner, Josh Harris. All they need is a new facility, and they be off to the races. Jaden Daniels taking over for a team in a city that had to watch Sam Howell turn the ball over. He's like, man, I don't feel no pressure. Why would I?
I don't feel no pressure. I'm going to just come in and just be me. But the history, man, that man sent back over the corner, Doug Williams, first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, what he did here. RG3, the excitement that he brought. It's two people I've been knowing for some time, so be able to lean on them and how they had success here and maneuvered throughout this organization, man. I'm open ears for sure. I'm ready to learn.
Yeah, that a little bit more straightforward. What do the Commanders do? Because I remember what they used to say. They can't say that anymore. What's their new quote-unquote Can I rally and cry? Do I get canceled for saying that?
No, I think that's appropriate. I think they just changed the one word. I'm pretty sure it's Hail to the Commanders, HTTC, I believe.
Okay. All right. That sucks, but yeah. You know, there's a few things that I can't stand. I don't like Philadelphia and their chants. I don't like them.
Their song. You don't like the EAGLS?
I don't like the songs.
Fly Eagles Fly.
I don't like Fly Eagles Fly. I don't like the Sixers song. I hate it. Why does Philadelphia got these corny ass songs from like 80 years ago? These songs suck.
I hate to say it because I hate the city of Philadelphia. I like both songs. Sixers especially. Oh, it's so catchy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Sixers.
I hate when
10, 9, 8, 76ers.
It's terrible.
Clap your hands, stomp your feet. No, that's not getting you.
No, I feel like I'm in a time warp. I hate it. Do the Colts have a song?
No, they do not.
What happens when the Colts do something good?
There's really nothing. Their radio announcer has started saying touchdown INDY.
Oh,
that's not caught on anywhere. That's a him thing.
Is there does there like a horse that neighs in the background, like an audio drop?
No.
The Colts have. There's not a horse sound in Lucas Oil.
I don't know if you can do that. You can't like.
No.
No. If you're a lion, you can have a lion's roar or a tiger roar. You can't have a horse neigh. There's nothing manly about a horse neighing.
The horse breathes. It doesn't a horse buck as well.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's third down. Get on your feet.
Right. They blow the air out their nose like a bull. They're very aggressive.
That's what you want?
Yeah.
Psych out the other team?
Yeah, I thought the Colts have to do something. We'll look it up. I just know I cannot stand the Sixers and their noises. Anyway, we got a basketball game going into overtime. Milwaukee and Indiana are tied at 111. They're going into overtime. The series is tied at 1-1. And Chris Middleton, who has a bum ankle, he has like 30 points by now, last I looked. And Damian Lillard running around on a busted up leg as well. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227. You know, speaking of the 76ers, let's get some basketball talk out the way. Because last night, Joel Embiid was dirty as hell. The man also, these stories you cannot make up. He is also suffering from Bell's palsy. I looked at that and had to go, what? It's true. I'm not joking. It's the facts. And then he went out there and had 50 points. Joel Embiid is the most interesting person on earth. We're going to talk about these terrible Sixers and their dumbass song and the actual basketball players on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. There's so much going on right now in the world of sports. NFL draft continues on in the second round. Now we got all the defense. Hickey, it is hilarious. There's so many defensive players that are now going here in the second round. I think we might be on to a future trend. I'm looking at this now. Starting at 6, T'Vondre Sweat is a tackle. Brandon Fisk is a tackle. Cooper DeJean is a cornerback. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback. Kamari Lassiter, cornerback. Max Melton, cornerback. We got Jackson Powers Johnson, what a powerful name, from Oregon. He's a center. Edrin Cooper, linebacker. We got our first running back. Jonathan Brooks is now a member of the Carolina Panthers. Tyler Newbin is a safety. He goes from Minnesota to the Giants. Mason Smith is a defensive tackle. He's now going to the Jags. Is this the new draft? Every year that we're going to get all the offensive players selected in the first round, in the second round we get the defensive guys?
That's what it seems like. Offense, first round, defense, and everyone else second round and going forward here. With the way the game is going and how many great receivers, quarterbacks, linemen there are, I don't think like yesterday is going to be an anomaly of just 14 straight offensive players. And what was the total, like 20 something? I don't think that's going to just be a one-off.
Yeah, this is the trend. Probably two-thirds of future drafts will be offensive players. But there has to be balance, right? I mean, for all the teams that took quarterbacks this year, they cannot come back next year. Most of these teams are probably still going to be bad. They can't be out here taking more quarterbacks. Maybe next year's draft is heavy on the offensive linemen. Maybe it's defenders. I don't know. I think that the trend is going to favor the offense. But as we move forward, especially next year, I mean, I've seen mock drafts. People are already like, hey, Shedeur Sanders is going to be taken number one overall. And, you know, it probably is going to be a quarterback. It might be a guy who jumps Shedeur. But the trends are so hilarious. And how about this? Chris Jenkins, the son of the other Chris Jenkins, has just been selected by the Cincinnati Bengals. I think this is our second son that was taken. Nope, this is the third. Marvin Harrison, obviously, he went first to the Cardinals. Joe Alt went. And so it looks like Chris Jenkins is going to be child number three. Yep. I remember the other Chris Jenkins. I remember him playing for the Panthers. Now, that was a bad man. If this Chris Jenkins can be anything close to his dad, damn, you certainly got yourself something. The Cincinnati Bengals, Amarius Mims from Georgia in the first round, Chris Jenkins here in the second at defensive tackle. There is so much going on right now, Hickey, I cannot keep up. We got the NFL draft on ESPN2. We have the NBA playoffs on ESPN. We got the Bucks and the Pacers. They're tied at 115. Unless we get some like scores here, we might go into a second overtime. And there's a basketball game on ESPNU?
Historic night. Clippers Mavs right now, the only pro game maybe we'll ever see on the ESPNU channel, at least live, is now on the college only channel. What a Friday night, huh?
What happened? ESPN 8 wasn't available?
The Ocho. Ocho is. Got dodgeball on there, I guess.
Not available? Running out of stations? There got to be some other things on tonight. Well, is there like some NASCAR or something? XFL, maybe. UFL?
Oh, UFL. Sure, maybe a Friday night. I mean, Friday Night Lights, right? You got to think.
I got to be careful. We're going to start getting calls in from Birmingham.
The reigning champs, right? Two-time reigning champs, I think.
I think their team is a bunch of horses too.
They neigh in the stadium.
What did they do? They made the noise here on the radio. I don't remember what they said.
Oh yeah,
they said hook. Then I didn't say hook them. That'd be copyright infringement. They said something.
I gotta look it up. Yeah, they had some sort of phrase.
Yeah, they'll be calling. Let me tell you something. I had people from next door in Birmingham. They were telling me about that 2 days after we got off air. Like consecutively for 2 days. All I heard was about the Alabama football team. A guy called me in New York on WFAN to tell me about the Birmingham, whatever you call them. You know, so.
Wow, they love their Stallions.
They love their Stallions. They love the music, too. And speaking of music, I told you we would talk about. Let me get this dirty guy out the way, by the way. Joel Embiid. It's official. He's dirty, man. He is dirty. He's an MVP, you know, a future Hall of Famer. This man might win a gold medal this year for Team USA in the Olympics because he's a front runner. But he is dirty. Last night, the 76ers beat the Knicks 125-114. The Knicks now lead the series 2-1. They play a game again on Sunday. And Joel Embiid had 50 points in a game, okay? Joel Embiid should not have been in the game because early in the game, he's on the floor, something that he's used to doing. And Mitchell Robinson, the center for the Knicks, went up for a dunk right in front of him while he was on the floor. Joel Embiid was not directly underneath him at all. As a matter of fact, he would have jumped and dunked the other way, away from Embiid. Embiid grabbed him by the legs and pulled him to the floor while he was in the process of jumping. Mitchell Robinson left the arena last night in a boot. This game is wild. Chris Middleton just banked in a three off the glass. It's 118 all. and they might move into a second overtime. This game is crazy. But back to Embiid. He should have been kicked out the game. They reviewed the call. They didn't kick him out of the game. They allowed him to stay. There's another play where he kicked Mitchell Robinson in between the legs on a jump shot. There's another play where he slightly lifted his knee into the midsection of Isaiah Hartenstein, who happens to be 7 feet tall. And it's just some of the dirtiest play that I've ever seen in my life. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I got to tell you this. The man did this. We found out last night that Joel Embiid is currently suffering through a bout of Bell's palsy disease. That is temporary facial paralysis. There have been rumors for days about Joel Embiid being unable to blink and move his face. And we find out last night he gave the Knicks 50 while going through and having Bell's palsy. And it's just like, what? You can't make this stuff up. And I want to be like sympathetic towards the guy, but the man is dirty. Listen to this explanation as to why he pulled a guy straight out of the air by his legs.
Mitchell Robinson jumping and, you know, trying to land, trying to, you know, make sure he doesn't land on me, because obviously we know the history that I have with, you know, Kuminga landing on my knee. So I kind of had some flashbacks, you know, when he came down to it. It was unfortunate. I mean, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. I just, you know, in those situations, I gotta protect myself, because I've been in way too many situations where, you know, I'm always a recipient of, you know, bad, you know, the bad end of it.
So I'm not even going to let the guy jump. I'm going to hurt. See, he basically said, I'm going to potentially hurt somebody before they hurt me. Is that a correct interpretation?
100%. It's basically either me or him. There's no world in Embiid's thinking where neither player can get hurt. It's he's getting hurt, I'm getting hurt. And it's not going to be me, because I've gotten hurt too much.
It's not even like he... See, if Joel Embiid was standing up... No. Let me put it this way. It's not like Mitchell Robinson dunked and then was stumbling around like while he's on the floor and Joel Embiid shoved him out the way. That's not what happened. He didn't even get a chance to jump. He jumped and got, I don't know, an inch off the ground, and Joel Embiid went yoink and grabbed him by his legs, like grabbed him by the ankles and pulled him down. I have no idea, none whatsoever, why the NBA allowed him to stay in the game. I know LeBron James talked about the replay and all this other crap a couple of days ago. Why do we even have a replay center? Why the hell did the referees go to the table and look this up? It was clear as day. It was dirty. You don't do that in a high school game. You don't do that to anybody. That's like somebody walking up the steps and you just grab them by the ankle and they split their head open because they trip. It's dirty. Grabbing somebody by the ankles. I'm sorry. I am not going to look at Joel Embiid the same ever again. Ever. He's dirty. I hope his Bell's palsy clears up. But him dirty, I'm not digging that. Meanwhile, we still got one hell of a game here in Indianapolis. The Pacers are trying to go up 2-1 on the Bucks. 121-118 is the score. Hickey, was that a three that Halliburton hit? I thought he hit like a runner in the lane. He hit a free throw. Is that what happened?
And got fouled.
He got fouled.
Run in the lane, made the bucket, and got the foul.
And so now the Milwaukee Bucks are down three. What is it, like a 1.6 seconds left? Chris Middleton hit a three to put them into overtime. He just hit another three to tie the game up, and then Halliburton with his three-point play. And now it's going to be a lot of fun to see whether or not we know Middleton. Well, Lillard is out there, too. Hey, this is when basketball is fun. Who needs the other 3 hours? Hickey, just give me the last, I don't know, 20 minutes, right?
I was going to say, who do you want taking the shot, Lillard or Middleton? You go with the hot hand or the proven player?
Where the hell are they inbounding the ball? There it is. Middleton shoots. Oh, man. Wow. Off the side of the backboard.
Went with the hot hand.
Yeah, off the side of the rim, I should say. Yep, Indiana now leads 2-1. Miles Turner hands in the air like he, well, not a championship, but there's a good strong win. No Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Doc Rivers is going to sit back and have a nice glass of whiskey in the back. It's probably another reason why he has no voice. And now I guess the Clippers are going to move from ESPNU to regular ESPN.
History is over, unfortunately. It was short-lived, but man, was it fun and exciting.
Yeah, we got a busy, busy night. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Monica McNutt having a chat with Tyrese Halliburton. When we come back, speaking of a chat, congratulations to Bill Belichick. Never thought I'd congratulate him. But what an amazing job that he did last night. I didn't know that he likes to talk. We're going to hear from Bill Belichick on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I mean, sheesh, I wish the people that actually got to deal with me all day were excited to talk to me like he was. I wish. I'm glad that you're happy that I'm here. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. NFL draft is going on. Pacers just beat the Bucks in overtime. It's so much. NFL draft, I can't keep up. I really can't. I will tell you this, though. You need to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Some interesting draft selections that continue on. Hickey, right when we were in break, the second we went to break, the Colts were on the board at number 52, and they decided to pick up a wide receiver. A.D. Mitchell, is now going to be catching passes from Anthony Richardson, right? That's how that's going to work?
That's right, and hopefully a lot of touchdown receptions.
Ah, not rushing or running, but touchdown receptions?
That's right. In case there's any confusion, touchdown receptions only, please.
I have a feeling. I want to know how long it's going to take. I have this in my head, and it's probably because I'm a jerk. I could see the ball getting snapped by Anthony Richardson, and then he's looking, and then he's going, oh, first read, second read, and then he sees Mitchell, and Mitchell is like, I'm open. And then he looks away, and then he looks again, and he goes, I'm open. And then he looks away, and he decides to run. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen all game long.
That's sick. That's a sick, sick thought you had. No. He's a pass-first guy. No running. Taking care of his body in 2024. That's the motto of the season.
You believe that?
I do.
Look, every time Mitchell gets the ball, he's gonna be like, oh, my God, I finally have the ball. And he's going to go, oh, my God, I have to score because I'm never going to see the ball again. And it's going to be unnecessary turnovers because he's going to be like, oh, my God, the manna from heaven, he's going to drop it. Give it to the other team.
I will say, instant reaction in terms of basing my excitement off of A.D. Mitchell's excitement or lack thereof, did not love the reaction that they showed on camera of him getting drafted by the Colts. Everyone around him is going crazy. His mom and dad are hugging him, whispering in his ear. He looked like he was going to jail. He looked miserable. Now I'm going to hope it's just surreal. You know, keeping your cool, maybe trying to act cool on TV. Hope he's not, hope he's not going to hold a boycott.
No, I think it's for the same reasons that I said. He's going to a team with a quarterback who couldn't stay healthy last year and did a little too much running, a little too many concussions, a little too many shoulder injuries. Joe Flacco is the savior for him because we know what happens if Joe Flacco is going to play. He ain't running nowhere. He's just going to throw the ball. A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas, originally from Georgia, came from Houston, came out here to Texas, went back to Texas to be with his family, his child, and now he's going up to Indianapolis. And now he can afford to maybe bring his daughter with him. Congratulations to the Colts. Hey, all things considered, Indianapolis Colts, they improved here in the draft. You got Latu on the defense. You got a wide receiver. Not too shabby, Hickey. Not too shabby.
two playmakers at two positions that they need them. You know, a little depth never hurt anybody. I like it. So far, so good.
So far, so good. Something else that's good. I mentioned this before the break. Bill Belichick is good. And there was no shock about this because the whole I'm the angry coach was him as an angry coach. Didn't want to disseminate, didn't want to share anything with the media that would be used against him. And so ultimately he was a curmudgeon and he played the role well. He did his job. Didn't want to deal with anybody but his team. And so yesterday, while we were on the air, Bill Belichick was also on the air with Pat McAfee. And he decided to share his draft insights. And unless you did not know this, Bill Belichick is a football genius. And his genius actually translates very well to television, to digital media. Because when he talks about football, it works. It's not overcomplicated. And even his storytelling is second to none. Listen to this. This is Belichick telling a story with McAfee last night about acquiring Randy Moss from the Raiders. Listen to this.
After the draft, the first day of the draft, because we've been trying to trade for Randy Moss for 2 months, literally. Like childbirth. I mean, it took forever. And so after the first day of the draft, I talked to Mr. Davis. I said, well, are we going to make a steal or not? And he said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it for your fourth. And I think we were picking like seventh in the fourth round. And so I said, well, we got to get the guy for a physical. We can't take his contract. We're going to have to renegotiate his contract. And Mr. Davis said, well, that's your problem. If you want to trade for him, then all right. Trade. Then you get it done. I said, all right. I call up Randy. Said, hey, Randy, this is Coach Belichick. Boom. Hangs up the phone.
What? Why?
Let me try this again. Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Who is this? Who's pranking me? Who is this? Bam. Hangs up the phone. Randy, this is Coach Belichick. We traded for you. What? Is this a joke? This better not be a joke. Who is this? No. This is... All right. Really? I said, yeah, but look, we got to get this done by tomorrow at noon. He goes, all right, what do I need to do? I said, you need to come up, take a physical, and we need to renegotiate your contract. It was by noon? I said, yeah. I goes, well, I'm in Houston now, but I got a plane. I'll be there.
Man, that Bill Belichick is a great. I could sit around and listen to him tell stories.
Oh, agreed. And that's why I think, like, too, if he does go into broadcasting full time or at least does this for this year only, he's better off like in a studio than at like a game broadcast because he has more latitude to tell stories like this and show his personality. Like, that's a great story, and he threw in some jokes there. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he was asked by Pat McAfee to show up and do, I guess, a daily hit on Mondays on his show. Belichick is like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, if it makes sense, and we know what that means, you better pay me some good money. And then I also heard that there's a high probability that he's going to be doing work with Peyton Manning and what is that, Omaha Productions. So we're going to get digital out of him. I think we'll see a lot on the streaming. Bill Belichick, is he going to coach again? I have no idea. Like, who knows? Do you think he's going to get a job? I feel like the longer he's away at his age, it's more likely that he's just going to be done.
And you saw the hesitation this past hiring cycle where a lot of teams were worried about basically Bill Belichick coming in and taking over the entire show. I don't think that perception is going to go away with him being away for a year. So if teams are afraid then, I don't think it's going to change compared to this time next year. I'd be surprised if he's hired again.
Yeah, I think the only squads that would give him a job at this point, and I say at this point, thinking about next offseason, the Eagles would have to be a disaster, even with all of the new talent that they were able to add on their defense, their offense. Dallas Cowboys are always a candidate because they're just a wild card. I mean, if you are Jerry Jones and you're looking at a roster and a team and you're like, man, I need to win. Like, the big one might hit me any year now. I got to win now. He may just say, screw this. Let's bring in Belichick. I don't know if there are any other teams that would entertain bringing on Bill Belichick. I really don't. Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers are in action. And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, They're on the clock right now. Dallas Cowboys going offensive line last night. Everybody's looking at the Dallas Cowboys and saying, okay, well, when are we going to get some help here? What are we going to do? And Jerry Jones, what is he, like a Star Wars character? Why are they sitting in that dark room?
It's better than that. Remember the one time they're on the yacht?
Oh, my. Was that for COVID? That was for COVID, right?
I think you're right about that. I think it was.
Well, where else would Jerry Jones be in a pandemic? He don't want to be with us common folk, right?
I guess not. And why be with the rest of your team or even just be in your own home? Let's just go on the yacht. Sure.
Well, listen, I'm sure Jerry Jones got a big old yacht. Tyler Guyton was their first round draft pick out of Oklahoma, the offensive tackle. And so the Dallas Cowboys, who should they pick here? Are they going to go running back? That seems like a Cowboys thing to do. We'll find out on the other side of the break because I got to shut up. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. America's team is on the clock here in the second round, and their fans are making all the noise in Detroit. We'll find out who they select on the other side of this break. We'll give you an update on the second round. And then, yeah, people are still talking crazy about the Falcons because they made a crazy selection. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
I mean, sheesh, I wish the people that actually got to deal with me all day were excited to talk to me like he was. I wish. I'm glad that you're happy that I'm here. It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. NFL draft is going on. Pacers just beat the Bucks in overtime. It's so much. NFL draft, I can't keep up. I really can't. I will tell you this, though. You need to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Some interesting draft selections that continue on. Hickey, right when we were in break, the second we went to break, the Colts were on the board at number 52, and they decided to pick up a wide receiver. Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell, is now going to be catching passes from Anthony Richardson, right? That's how that's going to work?
That's right, and hopefully a lot of touchdown receptions.
Ah, not rushing or running, but touchdown receptions?
That's right. In case there's any confusion, touchdown receptions only, please.
I have a feeling. I want to know how long it's going to take. I have this in my head, and it's probably because I'm a jerk. I could see the ball getting snapped by Anthony Richardson, and then he's looking, and then he's going, oh, first read, second read, and then he sees Mitchell, and Mitchell is like, I'm open. And then he looks away, and then he looks again, and he goes, I'm open. And then he looks away, and he decides to run. Like, I feel like that's what's going to happen all game long.
That's sick. That's a sick, sick thought you had. No. He's a pass-first guy. No running. Taking care of his body in 2024. That's the motto of the season.
You believe that?
I do.
Look, every time Mitchell gets the ball, he's gonna be like, oh, my God, I finally have the ball. And he's going to go, oh, my God, I have to score because I'm never going to see the ball again. And it's going to be unnecessary turnovers because he's going to be like, oh, my God, the manna from heaven, he's going to drop it. Give it to the other team.
I will say, instant reaction in terms of basing my excitement off of A.D. Mitchell's excitement or lack thereof, did not love the reaction that they showed on camera of him getting drafted by the Colts. Everyone around him is going crazy. His mom and dad are hugging him, whispering in his ear. He looked like he was going to jail. He looked miserable. Now I'm going to hope it's just surreal. You know, keeping your cool, maybe trying to act cool on TV. Hope he's not going to hold a boycott.
No, I think it's for the same reasons that I said. He's going to a team with a quarterback who couldn't stay healthy last year and did a little too much running, a little too many concussions, a little too many shoulder injuries. Joe Flacco is the savior for him because we know what happens if Joe Flacco is going to play. He ain't running nowhere. He's just going to throw the ball. A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas, originally from Georgia, came from Houston, came out here to Texas, went back to Texas to be with his family, his child, And now he's going up to Indianapolis. And now he can afford to maybe bring his daughter with him. Congratulations to the Colts. Hey, all things considered, Indianapolis Colts, they improved here in the draft. You got Latu on the defense. You got a wide receiver. Not too shabby, Hickey. Not too shabby.
Two playmakers at two positions that they need them. You know, a little depth never hurt anybody. I like it. So far, so good.
So far, so good. Something else that's good. I mentioned this before the break. Bill Belichick is good. And there was no shock about this because the whole I'm the angry coach was him as an angry coach. Didn't want to disseminate, didn't want to share anything with the media that would be used against him. And so ultimately he was a curmudgeon and he played the role well. He did his job. Didn't want to deal with anybody but his team. And so yesterday, while we were on the air, Bill Belichick was also on the air with Pat McAfee. And he decided to share his draft insights. And unless you did not know this, Bill Belichick is a football genius. And his genius actually translates very well to television, to digital media. Because when he talks about football, it works. It's not overcomplicated. And even his storytelling is second to none. Listen to this. This is Belichick telling a story with McAfee last night about acquiring Randy Moss from the Raiders. Listen to this.
After the draft, the first day of the draft, because we've been trying to trade for Randy Moss for 2 months, literally. This was like childbirth. I mean, it took forever. And so after the first day of the draft, I talked to Mr. Davis. I said, well, are we going to make a steal or not? And he said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it for your fourth. And I think we were picking like seventh in the fourth round. And so I said, well, we got to get the guy for a physical. We can't take his contract. We're going to have to renegotiate his contract. And Mr. Davis said, well, that's your problem. If you want to trade for him, then all right. Then you get it done. I said, all right. I call up Randy. Said, hey, Randy, this is Coach Belichick. Boom. Hangs up the phone.
What?
Why?
Let me try this again. Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Who is this? Who's pranking me? Who is this? Bam. Hangs up the phone. Randy, this is Coach Belichick. We traded for you. What? Is this a joke? This better not be a joke. Who is this? No. This is... All right. Really? I said, yeah, but look, we got to get this done by tomorrow at noon. He goes, all right, what do I need to do? I said, you need to come up, take a physical, and we need to renegotiate your contract. It was by noon? I said, yeah. I goes, well, I'm in Houston now, but I got a plane. I'll be there.
Man, that Bill Belichick is a great. I could sit around and listen to him tell stories.
Oh, agreed. And that's why I think, like, too, if he does go into broadcasting full time or at least does this for this year only, he's better off like in a studio than at like a game broadcast because he has more latitude to tell stories like this and show his personality. Like, that's a great story, and he threw in some jokes there. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, he was asked by Pat McAfee to show up and do, I guess, a daily hit on Mondays on his show. Belichick is like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, if it makes sense, and we know what that means, you better pay me some good money. And then I also heard that there's a high probability that he's going to be doing work with Peyton Manning and what is that, Omaha Productions. So we're going to get digital out of him. I think we'll see a lot on the streaming. Bill Belichick, is he going to coach again? I have no idea. Like, who knows? Do you think he's going to get a job? I feel like the longer he's away, at his age, it's more likely that he's just going to be done.
And you saw the hesitation this past hiring cycle where a lot of teams were worried about basically Bill Belichick coming in and taking over the entire show. I don't think that perception is going to go away with him being away for a year. So if teams were afraid then, I don't think it's going to change compared to this time next year. I'd be surprised if he's hired again.
Yeah, I think the only squads that would give him a job at this point, and I say at this point, thinking about next offseason, the Eagles would have to be a disaster, even with all of the new talent that they were able to add on their defense, their offense. Dallas Cowboys are always a candidate because they're just a wild card. I mean, if you are Jerry Jones and you're looking at a roster and a team and you're like, man, I need to win. Like, the big one might hit me any year now. I got to win now. He may just say, screw this. Let's bring in Belichick. I don't know if there are any other teams that would entertain bringing on Bill Belichick. I really don't. Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers are in action. And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, they're on the clock right now. Dallas Cowboys go on offensive line last night. Everybody's looking at the Dallas Cowboys and saying, okay, well, when are we going to get some help here? What are we going to do? And Jerry Jones, what is he, like a Star Wars character? Why are they sitting in that dark room?
It's better than that. Remember the one time they're on the yacht?
Oh, my. Was that for COVID? That was for COVID, right?
I think you're right about that. I think it was.
Well, where else would Jerry Jones be in a pandemic? He don't want to be with us common folk, right?
I guess not. And why be with the rest of your team or even just be in your own home? Let's just go on the yacht. Sure.
Well, listen, I'm sure Jerry Jones got a big old yacht. Tyler Guyton was their first round draft pick out of Oklahoma, the offensive tackle. And so the Dallas Cowboys, who should they pick here? Are they going to go running back? That seems like a Cowboys thing to do. We'll find out on the other side of the break because I got to shut up. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. America's team is on the clock here in the second round, and their fans are making all the noise in Detroit. We'll find out who they select on the other side of this break. We'll give you an update on the second round. And then, yeah, people are still talking crazy about the Falcons because they made a crazy selection. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.